Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded.
From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc Zorba Pastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office. Although, Zorba, we don't have that protective plexiglass shield
between us.
You know, that,
no, we don't.
That
we
salad
don't.
Bar
That's
sneeze
right.
guard
That's
thing.
Right. Oh, it's just terrible.
Don't
just
we need
awful.
One of those?
No,
you don't
well,
sneeze
you know
much.
What? You know, it's virtual. It's
okay,
virtual.
It's,
so nobody sneezes in the virtual space.
virtual particles
you don't sneeze
everywhere.
In the virtual space. That's right. That's right.
We'll talk healthy living. We'll walk you through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls as emails and a few voicemails as well. And if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, we'll discuss a few healthy living topics today, Zorba.
Right. The likelihood that kids and young people smoke is related to social media use. We're going to talk about that. Talk about what advertising was like back in the 50s and 60s when I was around. And actually, what's happening with that today? It's a big issue, not a small issue. And we're going to also talk about e-bikes. Now, are e-bikes kind of like you shouldn't be using them because you should be using, quote, a traditional bike? We're going to talk about those advantages and what that means to you and whether or not you should try an e-bike or not.
Interesting stuff. And what's our special recipe
today? Cold pork sliders.
Ooh.
It's an Instant Pot recipe. You can put it in the morning, you can put it in the evening, and you can have it at night. And let me tell you, this is delicious.
All right, stick around for that. To the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Our first caller joins us now in Noonan, Georgia. Hi.
Hello.
How can we help?
I have a question for the doctor.
Sounds great.
And after several colonoscopies, I'd say four in a row.
Four
annually.
In a row. Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of colonoscopies.
That's what I thought. But, you know, whatever is mm-hmm. necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been the fourth or maybe the fifth. That
wow.
the proctologist sent me to see a surgeon regarding a what they termed to be a precancerous polyp.
Uh-huh. So wait, let me get this straight. Why did you over what period of time did you have these colonoscopies?
Oh, 1 year right after another.
And that's because you kept on having polyps? What was the, or you've got a family history, or there's something called familial polyposis, which is a genetic disorder, or ulcerative colitis. There are a lot of reasons to do that. What was behind all this?
Tell you the truth, I don't know. Perhaps 30 years ago, I had my first colonoscopy, mm-hmm. and then I skipped the next 25 years. And when I went in, that's what happened. It was 1 year after another.
Gotcha.
I'm not really sure uh-huh. of my family history.
Okay.
And I was sent to see a surgeon,
sure.
and I did,
mm-hmm.
who immediately described what he was going to do,
uh-huh.
which was cut out my ileocecal valve and about 8 inches of my colon.
Oh, wow.
So
huh.
I went to get a second opinion.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, mm-hmm. it was in the same clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And both surgeons were rather abrupt.
Mm-hmm.
You might even say curt.
Mm-hmm.
That
uh-huh.
were not really
uh-huh.
friendly to my
uh-huh.
questions and
uh-huh.
whatnot, and
uh-huh.
just explain that, oh, gee, if they tried to take out one polyp, they might cut through all the layers of my colon,
huh.
and then that would be an emergency situation. So that's what they're going to do, and that's finally
yeah.
what I agreed to have
uh-huh.
done.
Uh-huh.
So my question is that a radical move? Do sometimes they just take out one polyp, or
well,
is this pretty standard?
So let me tell you what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm not sure exactly why you had multiple colonoscopies, but I'm going to make an assumption that you had something abnormal, and that's why they were doing it on a continuous basis. And we know that some polyps are precancerous. Some are not. We also know colon cancer is a slow-growing cancer. There's some new research that shows that it may not be 10 years from precancerous to cancerous. It might actually be 15 years. But if they did multiple colonoscopies, they found something abnormal. The ileocecal valve is the beginning part of your colon, a really important part. There are a lot of folds there. There are polyps that can hide underneath there, but it's a very important valve. You went and got a second opinion in the same clinic. You know what? They're surgeons, they're friends, or if they're not friends, they shouldn't be in the same clinic. And if they were curt, it's like, wait a minute, I want to get some information, and you're not giving me information. So there's such a thing as bedside manner, and there's such a thing as information. And I want to get all the information. So if it were me, I'd go to another clinic. I'd go to another place. Generally, I often recommend, if your insurance will cover it, that you go to a place 100 miles away because they don't know the people from the first clinic. And you get the information if you're on an electronic medical record, and I'm going to make an assumption you are. That means the other clinic can get that information and find out whether you need it. The answer is this is radical surgery. Getting rid of the ileocecal valve and a bunch of colon means you may have chronic diarrhea for the rest of your life. That may be the case. And the question is, does this really have to be done?
So I did have the surgery done when maybe 6-7 years ago.
Oh, so you had it done.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I had it done. I'm 75.
75.
And yes, and did go through with the operation and have regretted it many a morning.
Oh, so you've regretted
but,
it.
Yes, yes, because diarrhea did become a problem.
Right.
And so I don't head out in the morning for 2 or 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Just give myself time
but, you know,
to be close to
you,
the restroom.
You have brought up a really, really good point that helps other people when they're making decisions. In other words, here it is. It's a good example of where a second opinion might have not done that. On the other hand, you've also adjusted to this because you don't go out for 2 or 3 hours in the morning until everything clears out of your colon. So you have really helped educate people about that. And once again, it might have been the right decision or not, but because I don't have all the data, but you really have helped by sharing this with other people. And I want to thank you very much for doing that.
Oh, shucks. I thank you very much for your opinion, your knowledge, and the show and everything. I was sort of handicapped in that I'm suffering from macular degeneration. So my driving became less and less, and now I haven't driven for about 3 years. So for me to go somewhere else, 100 miles away, in a at that time I was living in Reno and didn't really have any friends or anybody that could help me. So I was sort of stuck with what I had, and that's why I finally decided, okay, let's do it. And after talking to the proctologist that's telling me that colon cancer is very common in our country as compared to, I think he picked China, where they have a lot of stomach cancer. That's just the way it is.
Exactly.
And I thought, okay,
exactly.
I do not want colon cancer.
No,
thank you
don't.
Very much.
No, you don't. So, well, thank you again. Thank you for sharing all of that. I really appreciate it. And so do our listeners.
Aye. And just one other thing, doctor, if I may, have you ever broached the subject of the, interstitium on the show?
Not at all. Not at all. But we may do that in the future.
I'm making a note of it.
So thanks. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
You take care
well,
now.
Thank you so
thanks.
Much, Dr. Carl and Brad, and a shout out to Tom.
Sounds good.
You take care now.
I will do. You too. Thank you
Bye-bye.
Very much.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. 7413. All right, Zorba, let's get to our first healthy living topic. got a headline here. The likelihood of young people smoking and vaping is linked to their social media use.
Oh, it's terrible.
This is interesting.
It's interesting and it's terrible. So let's go back to the 50s and 60s when we had social media. There was no social media.
No.
There was something called television.
Yeah. Oh, what is that?
That was it. And in Chicago, there were four channels. The educational channel that no one watched because it was terrible stuff. It's not like PBS today.
Yeah.
You know, this is black and white where they would have these documentaries that put you to sleep within 5 minutes. And then there was ABC, NBC, and CBS.
Sure.
And the major commercials were cigarettes.
Right. Who paid for all the programming?
That's right.
Right.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Winston gives you real flavor, real rich
nice tobacco
flavor.
Jingle
Winston
on public radio.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. I mean, think about it. I know all the jingles. Sorry.
It's still etched into your brain.
Lucky Strike gives you five. I mean, so obviously. So what happened was Congress came in and said, we've got to reduce smoking after the Surgeon General's report came out in the 60s. Roughly 65% of the men smoked, and the women were not far behind at like 55%. Surgeon General said, hey, after all these years, we found out it caused lung cancer. Well, they knew that 30 years before, but Big Tobacco came in and said, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't know. They actually knew it caused heart attacks and strokes. And so they said no advertising. Mm-hmm. So it dropped down over the years. We still have about 12% of the people who smoke. It's a shame. You should have less than that, but it's not zero. So here we have, what do we have now? Now we have social media. And social media is now doing the same thing as advertising. And some of it is probably paid for surreptitiously by Big Tobacco. You know, it's like, well, maybe it's paid for. Now, I might be wrong with that. And I want to be sued by Big Tobacco for saying that, but it might be the case. But here it is, clocking up, this is from the BMJ, clocking up to 7 or more hours with social media doubles the risk of smoking and vaping. And this is out of the journal, the BMJ journal called Thorax, and doubles the risk of smoking. And the more you actually watch social media, the more likely you were as a teenager and a young adult to smoke and to vape. So what's happening? Well, what's happening, obviously, is showing the same cues that you had in advertising. You know, beautiful, smart-looking people that you want to look like.
Influencers.
And their influences, and they're smoking. And when you look at kids who don't watch social media and don't vape and don't smoke, it's about 1%. In other words, it's a very tiny amount.
Seven plus hours a day, that is a lot of social media.
That's a lot of social
media. That's a lot. I mean, we already hear studies about social media affecting
anxiety,
depression, all kinds of stuff.
Huge amount of social media.
Yeah.
So these social influencers are influencing, like you say, anxiety and depression and smoking. So, I mean, there's an element of toxicity, and part of it may just be the amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't get rid of social media. It's not going to happen.
No.
And anything you try to get rid of like that, you know what's going to happen. It's going to make it more interesting. But so what are you going to do as a parent? So what if your kids were, your kids are how old now?
They're 6 and 9.
Okay, 6 and 9. So what if they were 19 and, what if they were 16 and like 12? How would you handle this as a parent?
I'm just dreading the day where they don't have phones.
Dread doesn't work.
Oh, I know.
You're a 16-year-old.
We were talking about how to figure out the phone thing and when to give them a phone.
Dread doesn't work.
Yeah.
I mean,
dread doesn't work.
Okay. No, dread doesn't work.
I'm making
dread
a
is
note
like
of that.
Putting your head in the sand and saying, I'm not going to do
work.
It. Dread doesn't
work.
So how would you deal with that as a parent?
I don't know yet. I got to figure that out.
Well,
we got to figure it out.
You do have to figure it out.
Yeah.
You want to figure it out before.
Yeah.
So how do you limit it? What do you do with your kids? But the reality is you are the biggest influence with your influencer with your children. Studies have shown even with kids who have, quote, difficult relationship with your parents, turns out your parents are the greatest influencers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're somebody who spends a lot of time on social media as an adult, they're going to spend a lot of time on social media, period.
Yeah.
If you're watching social media while you're at a soccer game or a baseball game and you're not paying attention to them, they're going to watch more social media. So in other words, you have to mimic that activity as an adult in a house, because otherwise your children are going to do exactly that activity. You know, I mean, do as I say, not as I do.
Modeling, right?
Modeling.
Modeling behavior.
So I think
behavior.
Part of it is modeling behavior and talking about it and mentioning it. You know, and I think that's how we, because, you know, once kids get out of the house, they're on their own. But when they're in the house, you're influencing them with food and exercise and lifestyle and social media. And we have to think about the amount of time they spend on their screen. And of course, you got to look at that.
What I really hope, and I don't know how realistic this is, but by the time they are the age where it's okay to have the phones for mm-hmm. them, that there's kind of this backlash, maybe technology, digital backlash with kids where they're kind
sure.
of,
yeah.
you know, phone's been around uh-huh. a while now and mm-hmm. they're kind of tired and they want to go back to the real world and be outside uh-huh. and all that stuff. Maybe that'll happen, maybe not. Maybe I'm being completely unrealistic about that.
You are being unrealistic.
Because isn't that kind of
level.
Happening a little bit or
all
not at
I know
all?
Is that, I mean, I'm an old guy. All I know is that I can't predict the future.
Come on.
You know, predicting the future to me would be like thinking that chewing gum is going to solve an algebra equation. So that's about that's about it. So we'll see.
All right, we'll see. TBD on that. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's go to a voicemail now. This is a listener in Tennessee.
Tell me your name.
My name is Emmett Nocton. How do you get unfat?
When you lose weight?
How do you lose weight?
Also from one of our younger listeners out there.
Definitely one of our younger listeners. You can just tell. I love the voice.
Yep.
And how do you get unfat?
His mom was helping him along on that. Yep.
How do you get unfat? Yep. Oh, that is a big problem. You know, that's a big problem.
That's a great question.
And I was just in Morocco pretty recently traveling around. And the first thing you notice as you travel back is people start to increase in size.
Back to the States.
So I traveled from Marrakesh in Morocco, mm-hmm. and then I went, I had a stop in Lisbon, Portugal, mm-hmm. spent overnight, and then traveled back. So when I stopped in Lisbon, Portugal, I was there for like, you know, overnight, and I was looking at people in the hotel, and the French were one size in the hotel, because a lot of French actually stop in Lisbon and go to France, and the people for the UK were a little bit larger mm-hmm. than the people in France, because I'm sitting in a restaurant, and the people in America are larger than the people in UK than people in France. Mm-hmm. So there's a cultural issue also. And so what we expect with weight when we look around for the people around us is bigger and bigger and bigger. How do we do it? For a kid, cut out junk food. That's it. You know, if you go and you have a sub at Subway might be 400 or 500 calories and the chips might be 250 calories. So the chips are 50% of the calories. They're caloric. And if you have a Coke, you have a 12-ounce Coke, regular Coke, that's, I don't know, another 180, 250 calories. Cut out the junk food. That's one thing. Start eating more fruits and vegetables because that'll help you. And look at juices. Juices are loaded with calories. Don't drink juice. Have regular fruit. Mm-hmm. Makes a big difference. So those are the things that I would recommend doing.
Good advice. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before the break, Zorba, let's hear from your favorite hand raisers. This is from the Grammar Police, but wait, Brad, hang on, don't play that. This one comes from a very specialized and cultured division of the Grammar Police. This is from the Yogurt Police.
Yogurt! Please, please, don't make a fuss. I'm just plain yogurt.
That's from Spaceballs. That's Mel Brooks playing yogurt. All right, this is from Rick in Springfield, Missouri. And this is not from Rick Springfield, the 80s singer. But I feel like we've heard from Rick before. Mm-hmm. Anyways, mm-hmm. Rick writes, mm-hmm. Dr. Zorba, when recommending that people use yogurt as their source of probiotics, please consider including a recommendation for use of kefir, which is a liquid uh-huh. fermented milk yes. beverage available at many mm. grocery stores. Common flavor variations are plain, mm-hmm. strawberry, blueberry, and Sutherland. That's my favorite.
Sutherland?
Kefir Sutherland's my favorite flavor.
Oh, Kefir Sutherland.
Sorry, I had to throw that
sorry.
In
there.
I added that
you
one
said
in.
It. Sorry. I fell
Rick,
for it.
Rick
sorry.
Didn't say that.
I thought, what kind of a flavor is Sutherland?
Anyways, Rick continues. That's terrible. Kefir contains
yes, it is.
Three times more probiotics than yogurt.
Oh.
It has around 12 live mm-hmm. and active cultures and 15 to 20 billion mm-hmm. colony-forming mm-hmm. units, mm-hmm. CFUs. Mm-hmm. Yogurt has 1 to 5 active cultures and a mere 6 billion CFUs.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
Still
you
lots.
For a great program.
But
thanks,
that
Rick.
Is a good point. I happen to like kefir. I haven't had it.
I don't think I've had kefir. I've seen it in the store
I've
all
had
the time.
It for, I haven't had it for a long time. It used to be very popular back in the day. Mm. And it's a yogurt. It's a kind of a, I think of it as a liquid
like
yogurt
Like a liquid
drink.
Yogurt, right.
Yeah, it's really good. Good point. I will keep that in mind when I talk about probiotics. Thank you.
All right. Are we lacking in lactobacillus? Let us know by posting on our Facebook page or by sending us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
More of your calls to come, more listener emails, and we'll be cooking up some delicious Instant Pot pulled pork sliders. All coming up on Zorba Pasture on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen in the studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. He's right over there. He's wearing a Muir Woods baseball cap. Muir Woods, were you there?
I was there.
You were there?
Wonderful, beautiful. Redwoods are great. Oh, I love redwoods. They're just wonderful. So big, so huge.
Yeah.
You know, they're just mind-boggling.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Speaking of mind-boggling, the number to call, it's a mind-boggling number
because
it's 7 digits.
Right. Oh,
actually, way
That's
more
right.
than 7 digits. It's 10 digits.
That's
800-462-7413. That's
800. Seven down, three to go. That's right.
I really tanked that one. 800-462-7413. Call us anytime. But before we get back to those phones, let's do the recipe. Instant Pot. Pulled pork sliders.
That's right. Do you like pulled pork?
Love pulled pork.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's great.
Do you like pulled pork?
It's great. I do. I never had it when I was a kid. It just was not a popular thing.
It was just
living in Chicago.
It wasn't pulled.
It was pork, but it also wasn't, you know, wasn't barbecue and other stuff like that. It just was not, in Chicago where I grew up, it was not that common. Everything was based around the hot dog. And sliders were definitely not common. If you're going to have a sandwich, it was like a big sandwich.
Not a little thing on a little bun.
But this is great. Pulled pork sliders using the Instant Pot. So let's make it.
Okay.
So 3 to 5 pounds of boneless pork shoulder. That's what you're going to start with.
3 to 5 pounds boneless pork shoulder.
That's right. A little salt, tablespoon of salt.
1 big tea salt.
Teaspoon of ground black pepper. If you like pepper, put in more.
1 little tea ground pepper.
And if you like it hot, put in some red pepper.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, right. You like it hot. That's right. So about 24 ounces of barbecue sauce. That's what you're going to need.
Yep.
Now, 12 rolls of your choice. Might be brioche, might be Hawaiian sweet rolls, it might just be rolls. But we're talking about sliders, so the rolls are small.
Rolls are important. 12 rolls.
That's right. 12 ounces of some kind of shredded cheese if you want it. Monterey Jack is what I'm going to use here, but I like provolone would be good.
Sure.
Cheddar's going to add a lot more to it, but you know, you may want to use it, or it may be a Mexican mixed cheese. But 12 ounces of shredded cheese if you want it.
Sounds good.
Little melted butter, a couple tablespoonfuls.
Sure, 2 big tea melted butter.
And some salt on the top. So
all right.
Let's make it. So first of all, you want to cut that pulled pork into like 3 or 4 or 5 even pieces, season it with a little salt and pepper, put it in the Instant Pot, pour the 16 ounces of barbecue sauce over the top of the pork, then set your Instant Pot to cook, high pressure, 45 minutes. Now, the thing I love about it, you have an Instant Pot at home?
I do. That doesn't seem instant. 45 minutes? That's a long time,
isn't it? Well, it's not always instant. But the thing about the Instant Pot, it is a pressure cooker.
Okay.
It's 45 minutes.
Got it.
Preheat the oven to 375 degrees. That's what you're going to do. Okay. Let the Instant Pot, let it cool on its own. You don't stop it. You don't instantly get rid of the pressure within it. So when it's done, you're going to then shred it in the Instant Pot. You don't have to use another pot so that all the juices can really get in there. After you shredded the pork, okay, you got the pork all shredded. Now go to your buns. Slice the buns. Put the buns on some parchment paper or some foil. First thing you're going to do is you're going to put the meat on top of that bread, letting the juices to go in there. Then you're going to take some of the barbecue sauce and you're going to put it over the meat, okay? Now you got barbecue sauce over the meat. Then you're going to put, if you want some cheese, you're going to put some of that cheese on top of that. Then you're going to take some butter and you're going to take the other part of the bun that doesn't have the meat on, put a little butter on there. You're going to shove it into the oven, 375 degrees in 15 minutes. Pull that out and set up the table, and you are ready to go.
That sounds great. Great for a picnic or a large group.
Instant or a party or a celebration. Mm-hmm. And celebrations and parties are great any time of year. And this is a wonderful pulled pork sliders. And if you can say that 10 times quickly.
PPS.
PPS.
Pulled
that's right.
Pork sliders.
In the Instant Pot, it's not instant, but the Instant Pot works. And if you want this recipe, I know you haven't pulled over to the side in your car. All you have to do is find it at ZorbaPastor.org. That's ZorbaPastor.org. And you can find this recipe and wonderful things on our website. And of course, you can always find it through Facebook.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to those calls now. This is a listener in El Paso, Texas. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How can we help today?
Well, you know what? I went to a doctor at WellMed, and she's referred me to an endocrinologist, and he told me I have hyperthyroidism, not hypo, but hyper.
Okay.
And I went yesterday and had lab work, and all he told me was I had too much calcium. That's it.
So what about your thyroid? Do you have hyperthyroidism? I mean, they said you had hyperthyroidism, so they must
And what does that do to?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it is a medical problem. It's where basically your thyroid gland is producing too much, and your pulse can go up. You can become anxious from that. It can also, over time, not be good for your body because the thyroid, you know, there's too much thyroid medication. We need to have a balance. You're used to a lot of people having low thyroid. They need thyroid replacement. But people who have hyperthyroidism often get one of several different medications that actually then reduce that and have to be on that medication for often maybe 3 to 6 months in order to reduce the thyroid and get the thyroid to settle down. Due to multiple things that can actually affect the thyroid, we're not exactly sure what starts it out, like is it a virus or something else? And actually calcium can be affected also. But maybe they must have checked your parathyroid hormone, which is a totally separate hormone that's also involved in calcium.
Well, he told me that he checked that I was hyperthyroid, and yesterday he told me to get off calcium, and that was it.
Oh, he told you to get off calcium. So he didn't say that he's going to start you on a medication. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, quite often, this particular, if you're hyperthyroid and it's not too high, often you give it some time, you don't actually start a medication, and it gets better over 3 to 6 months. So I have patients like that who decided not to go on any medication. I have one patient of mine who years ago, probably 20 years, had hyperthyroidism, went on medication. She was on it for 6 to 9 months, then it got better, and then stopped the medication. She didn't like the feeling of the medication. So when she developed hyperthyroid again, she said, I don't want to be on medication. I want to see if I can sort of ride this out. And she did, and then it got better. So this particular disease can sometimes get better on its own, and obviously your numbers must not be too high. How much calcium were you taking?
Hold on, I've got the bottle right here.
Okay.
And I also want to tell you, I thoroughly enjoy the fact that you take time out to help people.
Well,
you
thank
know,
you.
I think I'm a nurse practitioner and never tell the doctors that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
wow.
But I tell you, look, I was taking calcium 600 milligrams daily.
Okay, so obviously your calcium levels, that's not a lot of calcium, but your calcium levels are high and they'll recheck that. And then,
okay.
So when are you going to get, have they scheduled you for a recheck of like tests in about 3 months?
Well, you know, he told me, he said, get off the calcium.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, go get a, como se llama, bone density. And then he said, I'll see you in 2 months.
Oh, in 2 months. Okay. So then he wants to recheck your thyroid hormone levels. And then he'll also check a comprehensive metabolic panel that'll consider your calcium and see that. So your numbers, I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but just knowing how this works, he said, let's give it 2 months and let's see. And at that time, they'll recheck it. So it sounds like you're having exactly the right thing going on. That's what it sounds
All
like.
Right.
And it sounds good.
Right.
And you know what? I really, Carl and I and Brad, really appreciate your comments on the show because our goal here is really to help people walk through the medical maze. And that means a lot
well,
in your...
Well, I'll tell you, it's a maze. It's a maze. And you know what's interesting? I never tell the doctors I'm a nurse practitioner, see? Oh. I waited until they're... Uh-huh. No, I didn't tell this guy. And this guy's from Argentina, and he's a good-looking, sexy guy. He talked to me for a whole half an hour. And then he said to me, do you want to speak English or Spanish? And I said, well, Spanish, because that's the language of God. That's what my dad always told us. But anyway, then he says, he's charming. And then he says to me, now, Rosemary, get off the calcium. I'll see you in 2 months. And that was it.
But it's interesting that you don't tell them you're a nurse practitioner because you want to see what they're going to say. That's exactly. Yes. I assume
then I tell them I'm a curandera. You know what a curandera is?
No, I don't.
Well, a curandera is a healer that uses herbs.
Oh,
a Mexican.
Oh,
and you know, I try to take, I don't like to be on medication.
Sure.
So anyway, I really appreciate the fact that you help us because, you know, it is a maze to go through the medical system nowadays.
It is.
So
it
I
is.
Really appreciate your program, and I appreciate the fact that you take time to help people sort through the system.
Well, I have a question, quick question for you. In 2 months, do you get to go back to see the same Argentinian doctor?
Yes.
Well, lucky you.
And he's real charming, and I appreciate your call, and I will. I do have in about 3 weeks, I'm going back to Wellmed to my regular doctor, and she should get the report.
Right,
him.
Right, exactly. That's right. It should be. So, with the electronic medical record, those reports are usually very easy to share. Exactly.
Okay.
So, okay. All right. Thank you so much. You take care now.
Well, thank you. Gracias, gracias. Es muy simpático usted. You know what that means in Spanish? You're very simpático.
Oh, simpático. Yes, I know that. Yes, yeah. My daughter-in-law is from Brazil, so I know a little bit of Portuguese, and then all my children speak Spanish. They're all fluent in Spanish,
all right,
so I know
my God.
A little bit.
Okay, well, you know, my dad used to tell us we spoke straight to heaven when we speak Spanish. So anyway, and I used to think, oh, my poor Protestant friends, they don't talk to God, and I do. So anyway, I have delusions of grandeur. I want to thank you for taking the time, and I will take my message to Dr. Greenwich, who I see here in El Paso.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time. You take care now.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Take
Bye.
Care now. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before the break, Zorba, it's time for the segment where a fully licensed and accredited doctor sifts through the silk and slime of the vast and unhampered internet. We call this one Google Doc.
Slime?
The silk and slime.
Sorry.
You know, the good
That's
and the
my
bad.
My brain is going.
Internet's not good
ugly.
Or bad. It's
and
all
the
of
ugly.
It, right?
And the ugly.
All right. All right. The following email came from Jerry, who writes, first, I admire you for openly taking on the mighty search engine, but today—
How nice. So let's stop with there. We don't need the rest of the email.
We're done. All right.
We're done. 800-462.
No. Jerry says, but during today's show, it hit me. Google is so 5G. So yesterday.
Yeah, it is 5G.
I guess 5G
is yesterday?
Old now? I don't know.
I thought
is, it,
5G
is there 6G
today.
Yet? Yeah, no. 4G was no. yesterday.
Yeah,
wasn't
4G
it?
Was yesterday.
Jerry's way ahead of
yeah,
us.
No G. No G is where I came from. There was no G.
Jerry,
Landline.
There you
is
go.
Really,
that's yesterday. Jerry says, you are shooting at a target which is no longer there.
Oh, really?
It has moved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The big money is chasing AI. And you need to have, quote, AI doc. Maybe even a...
Oh, AI doc.
AI
okay.
doc. Maybe even AI a synthetic doc. Voice to represent the AI doc.
A synthetic voice.
Well...
How does that sound?
I made something for him. Like this, Jerry? Does it sound like this?
AI doc.
I think that's what Jerry was thinking.
No. But that's AI doc. Like I'm a doc.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's like, it's
you can
like
interpret
AI
it that
doc.
Way.
Of
yeah.
course.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, it's
anyway.
All punctuation.
It is.
You know, A, comma, I doc. That's a different than
Isn't
AI
that an
doc.
Optometrist?
That's it.
An eye doc?
An eye doc.
I don't know. Anyways, Jerry continues.
We don't have to go down that rabbit
not
hole.
At all. No. Jerry says, also, Google Doc promotes a certain corporation.
That's true.
Which
That's
still
true.
Uses the ticker
That's
symbol
true.
GOOG for the stock market.
Goog.
Even if they themselves Goog. Got so tired of the name, they changed it to Alphabet.
That's
and I didn't know that. I guess Google changed its name to Alphabet.
You're so off.
We're talking about years ago.
We're talking about maybe 3 to 5 years ago they changed. You didn't know that Google was Alphabet?
I probably heard it and forgot it.
Oh, God. That's right. I'm sorry.
You knew that. That is very old news.
I knew that. No, I'm on top
so
of these things.
I'm 5G.
I'm sorry. I'm 4G. No, I'm landline, so got to keep up with it. Please,
anyways,
is there more to this letter?
No, we need an outro for this anyways. Let's hear that.
Do you like it when Dr. Zorba takes on the mighty, mighty internet? Well, maybe he should check himself, or else we might have to do something about it, yeah? After all, we're smarter and faster than you. And we aren't bound by a moral compass.
Sounds like...
Did that scare you?
You know what it is? It sounds like the new HAL from 2001.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, HAL was, you know, it's
HAL
the
AI.
New HAL. That's right. No
HAL.
I like her voice. Where'd you find her?
Just on the mighty, mighty internet.
On the internet. Did you Google it?
I sifted through the slime and silk of the internet.
And found it.
And found it, yeah.
Moving along.
Anyways, just
1-800.
Post on our Facebook page or send us an email at...
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right. More of your calls to come.
And
more
do
of
not
your
leave
emails.
The message on our machine.
Please. And if you do, use that voice maybe. That'd be kind of cool. More voicemails, more emails, and we'll dig into another healthy living topic, all coming up on Zorba Pasture on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen in Buck Studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. He's sitting right over there looking pretty dapper there. He's got a nice plaid short sleeve shirt on. Kind of a picnic table cloth looking shirt. It's pretty
Thank
nice,
you.
Though. It's nice.
Thank you for the compliment.
Of
I appreciate
course.
It.
Looks
you know,
great.
Coming from the fashion police, you know, I think
that's me?
Really good. Hey, you know, you're part of it. That's
okay,
right.
whatever you say. 800-462-7413 is the number to call anytime. That's 800-462-7413. But before we get back to those phone calls, Zorba, our next healthy living topic, you recently wrote an article about e-bikes.
I love e-bikes.
You do?
I love my e-bikes. So first of all, when I was younger, and there was a time that I was younger,
yeah.
I loved biking. So first I had like, you know, typical bikes you had as a kid, 3-speed kind of clunker,
mm-hmm.
Schwinn, but I probably got the off-brand from the Schwinn because Schwinn was kind of expensive. Then in college, I had a bike to go from place to place on the University of Wisconsin campus, a junkie bike, which I, you know, never locked up and no one bothered to steal it because mm-hmm. it was a junkie bike. So anyway, so then, I got a Raleigh bike with thin, it was an English bike and a racing bike with thin tires,
mm-hmm.
and I would use that periodically. But I got older, the tires got thinner and thinner and thinner in my brain, you know. So I didn't use my bike as much. Now I do bike trails,
mm-hmm.
and I found I wasn't biking very much. You know, it just wasn't doing it. And then I have friends who have said, oh, you can't bike because you may fall and hit your head and then you get a subdural hematoma. But the reality is my Aunt Myrtle fell on the way to the mailbox in 85 and she got a subdural hematoma and died. So does it mean I shouldn't go to the mailbox? And the answer is no. Bike, put on a helmet, do it correctly. So then I thought, what about e-bikes?
Sure.
A couple years ago, I asked my son-in-law, another friend, what would they recommend? They recommended the same e-bike. I love it.
You love it.
I don't like it. I love it. I bike more now. Last year, I biked more than I did probably in 5 or 10 years combined of the decade before. So there was an article I recently found, came out of Switzerland. Switzerland is known for not having flat surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
They have mountains.
A lot of Alps there.
And they were looking at people who rode regular bikes. Traditional bikes, that's now one of the terms, versus e-bikes at around the same age and what they were doing it. And they found that people at e-bikes rode 4 times as much as people at traditional bikes. Now, you may look and say that people on the traditional bikes, often the people who wear Lycra...
Wait, are you slandering Lycra right now?
Look good in white Lycra. I'm slamming Lycra. You know, they often say, well, or they think, well, you're cheating. You're having an e-bike. There's no cheating. It's a different bike. So what happens is when I see a hill now, I still go, but I'm not concerned about the hill because I've got pedal assist when I'm going up the hill. And so I'm much more likely to bike. And so I think it's important for people to look at e-bikes, and they are booming. Ridden an e-bike?
Both my mother-in-law and my father-in-law both invested in e-bikes. They love them because they were big bikers all their lives, and they take trips to Europe, biking trips.
Oh, really?
They use big e-bikes.
Oh, yeah. So your father was an athlete. I know.
This is my father-in-law, but he was also an athlete,
Your father-in-law. So they biked in Europe.
Every year they go to Europe and do a trip. Portugal, they've gone to Spain,
really?
France.
Oh, biking.
Yeah.
Oh, so they were big bikers. How do they like their e-bike?
They love it. And like you said, they only use it just, you know, when they need it. They're not always using it.
Right,
so, and that's a big stigma about it. Like, some people look down on e-bikes.
That's right. The reality is, I like pedaling on the bike, but when I'm going uphill, I can go to the same pedaling, but I don't have to hunt and grunt. And the reality is, I'm older now. I don't want to do that.
And you're more likely to use it now.
I'm much more likely to use it.
Yeah.
So, and it makes me feel good, and it gets me outside.
Sure.
So, benefits? I'm outside, I'm using it, I'm exercising. And so, I think what we're seeing is a whole revolution in biking. Mm-hmm. So, e-bikes, regular bikes, whatever gets you out and moving in Mother Nature, that's good for you.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to those phones now. This is a caller from Jacksonville, Florida. Hi.
I have a neuropathy issue going on from last year, December. Mm-hmm. Exact date on December 25th when I woke up, I felt that something is sticking under my left toe, big toe. I thought it might be some dirt or anything. I went to shower, cleaned up, and everything came out. Didn't feel that it came out. I sat and saw nothing was there. Mm-hmm. And as the day passed, the feeling started getting more worse and worse. I started feeling that something like a sticky tape or something is sticking under my big toe on the left foot.
Okay.
On the next day, 26th, same thing happened on my right toe.
Oh.
But the feeling was very different. It felt like I have a pebble or a stone of a pea size under my right toe.
Under the toe?
Left toe, yes.
Okay.
Left toe has a sticky, like a tape kind of thing, and right toe has a pebble kind of thing, very circular. I can feel the shape also. It's very circular. When I touch it, there is nothing, no cut, no bruise, nothing. It's all cleaned up.
Was it red? Was it hot? Was it red and hot, the toe, when you looked at it?
Nope.
So what'd you do?
So I went to a dermatologist. I thought it's something with the skin, so she told me it's not the skin issue. You should go and see your PCP. I went to PCP. He thought it could be a nerve issue, so referred me to a neurologist. Did some testing, neuro testing, and all those things. Gave me medicines like gabapentin and pregabalin. I think the pregabalin is the correct chemical, right? And they gave me that. Painkiller medicine also didn't help me. Nothing helped me. They thought, okay, it could be a foot issue. We should send you to a podiatrist. I never went there, but they, enough testing, they found that possibly on my left side, in the lower back, there could be a nerve pinch. But then they ruled out the issue because they said if it's on the left side, you should have only the feeling on the left side.
Right.
You should not
side. Should not be on the right side, too. Right.
Correct.
That's right. If it's a nerve issue that's coming from the back, it's pretty much not going to be bilateral. It's going to be on one side. Okay.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But since December 25th, that's the exact date when I woke up in the morning, I have this issue going on. Now, I have noticed that when I wake up, it gradually grows, right? The feeling, like, it will be just a tiny dot, and then it grows to a pea size, right, on the right foot. Mm-hmm. And then as the day passes, it goes away. Someday it will be just on the tip of the toe. Someday it will be on the very back of the thumb or toe, big toe, very back in the middle on the corner, right? Someday in the night, by the night, it's 99.9% gone. I don't have anything.
Did the pregabalin or gabapentin, those are medications we give for neuropathic pain, did that do anything to you?
Nope, nothing.
Didn't touch it.
I took gabapentin for almost 3.5-4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. I'm still taking pregabalin, and it's almost 2.5 months now. Nothing.
Uh-huh. But it hasn't affected the pain at all. It hasn't made it better, hasn't made
no
it worse.
I have no pain. It's no pain in there. It's just a feeling in there. And, you know, when some feeling is there, it feels very weird and uncomfortable. That's it.
Yeah, well, it is weird and uncomfortable. I mean, you know, that's a very strange thing. So, first of all, you know, what they're assuming, I think it was pretty logical, that's what I would have assumed too, is that this is a neurological condition, and these two drugs are often given for people who have a neurological condition. If it were in the back, then usually it's going to be on one side, not on the other side. Pretty rarely do you get bilateral pain. And also, on the whole, the pain will be electrical, but you don't have pain, like you said. It's just a strange feeling that you have there. Mm-hmm. So over time, is it about the same as it was back in December? Is it better or is it worse or is it around the same?
It gets worse over the day and it gets better by the evening. So it starts very small.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have no idea what you have.
Is this a stump the doc?
This is
right
a
now?
Stump the doc.
Uh-oh.
I have no idea what you have. I do think it's neurological. I just think that. It's not painful, which is really good. We don't really have a good way of testing neurological issues such as this. We have something called an EMG, which can look at the nerves in the back, and basically we use that, for instance, in the wrist for carpal tunnel syndrome, but it's not going to give us an answer because you've got a sensory nerve issue. If it were in your shoes, I think going to the podiatrist made a lot of sense because they can look and say maybe it's a shoe issue, maybe it's there. Have you noticed any difference, by the way, in the shoes that you wear?
No, wearing shoes make it more, get the feeling go away. So what I am doing to make it better or not have that feeling, I'm wearing from last 6-7 months, I'm wearing socks 24 hours. I just take it off during the shower and everything. Otherwise, I'm wearing slippers in the house or shoes when I go out, and it feels better. It doesn't feel worse.
Okay. I have a specific recommendation for you. This is what I want you to do. I want you to buy Crocs, okay? You know Crocs?
I didn't want it to give the name of the brand, but that's what I'm wearing, yes.
Okay, but are you wearing Crocs around the house?
Yes.
Okay, because that's really important to do. Well, you know what? This may go away. You've stumped me. Because you've got it. One of the things that you have to wear, people often will wear socks around the house or slippers that don't have any support. You're wearing something with support. I don't know what it is. It may go away. You've noticed over time that it gets better during the day, which goes along with something that may be a ligament or a joint. But there are some things in medicine that we cannot solve. And you have one of those things that I don't know. Now, we have a lot of listeners, and we have a lot of professional listeners. And I think that we're talking about this on the air. I want anyone who has any idea of what's going on to send us an email or call our number 1-800-462-7413 and leave us a message because I am stumped by this. And you know what? I don't get stumped that often. So I want to thank you for bringing it up. And I wish you had a good answer, but you're doing everything I would do. And I think you had good recommendations for the docs. And I wouldn't go to a doc anymore for a long time because I think they tried and we don't have an answer.
Thank you, doctor. I tried to. I thought I'll get an answer here, but thank you very much.
Welcome. And thanks for sharing it. And let me tell you something. We will get information.
We'll crowdsource it.
We're going to crowdsource it. And if we have an answer, I'm going to call you back, and I'm going to give you the answers that we have. So stay tuned.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate that.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
I'm stumped.
You are clearly stumped on this
I'm
one.
I'm stumped.
That is a confounding question.
I'm stumped.
That's all right. Sometimes even Zorba gets stumped. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's do a listener email. The following question came from Sandy in Mount Vernon, Wisconsin. Sandy writes, Dr. Zorba, I always enjoy listening to your show, mostly for your laugh. So Sandy's listening for the laugh.
It's very funny.
Good. On a recent show, you were discussing kidney stones. My father has suffered from them for years. Just recently, while in the hospital, one of his doctors said there is a gland near the thyroid that could be taken out. Once that is out, the kidney stones disappear. Have you heard of this? Thanks so much for your time. Keep laughing.
Well, there really is not. But they're talking about probably the parathyroid gland. And you don't take out the parathyroid. You need parathyroid hormone. But people who have hyperparathyroidism, those are people who have too much in terms of parathyroid hormone, often get kidney stones. I mean, that's one of the issues.
But you don't take the gland out.
No, you only out if you have the disease.
Okay.
That's exactly, that's all you would do. You know, it's moans and bones sometimes can be symptoms of hyperparathyroidism. Hmm. And moans, bones, and groans are actually what they're sometimes called.
Before.
Yeah, it's kind of a,
is it a doctor
medical
thing?
It's a doctor. It's
moans,
a doctor joke.
Bones and groans.
That's right. We're not going to do a song on that, Carl.
I won't
Believe
make
me,
a jingle
It's
about
not going to be a jingle. But no, that's the only case you take it. And you need your parathyroid hormone. So it's really, you need all of your hormones in your body. So.
All right. Have a healthy living question for the good doc. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we head out, Zorba, we love when our listeners contribute their healthy living tips to the show. The following email came from Robert in Yukon, Oklahoma. You know who grew up in Yukon, Oklahoma?
Not me.
Huge country star, country singer.
Okay. You expect me to guess?
A male country singer.
I'm sorry.
From the
in
the
90s. I don't listen to country. I'm sorry. I rarely listen to country. I have no idea who you're talking about.
He always wore this like black and white checkered shirt.
Go ahead. You can
Garth
give me
Brooks.
All the hints.
Have you heard of Garth Brooks?
I do know.
You know
I
Garth.
I know Garth Brooks.
He grew up in Yukon,
right.
where
That's
Robert's
right.
from.
That's
Anyways,
right.
Robert writes.
He's from Yukon?
Yukon, Oklahoma. That's where he grew up. Yeah, I don't think
but
he's
not
born
from,
there.
But he's not from the Yukon.
Not the Yukon territory, no. All right. Robert writes, Zorba, I wanted to share this hiccups cure that I discovered a decade ago, and it works every time for everyone. Take a cup, fill it with water.
Okay.
Take a cloth towel. A few strong paper towels could work too.
Okay, this is really complex.
Cover the cup with the towel.
Okay, cup with the towel. Then pour it over your head.
Then, while holding the towel tight on top of the cup, start drinking it. So you're drinking through a towel.
Through a towel?
It's got to be a thin towel, I feel like.
Yeah, it depends on how thick the towel is. See, a thick
Take
towel,
a good...
it's not going to... And if it's a paper towel and you start drinking it, it's going to be distressed.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Take a good drink of it.
Yeah, are you supposed to sing before you do this?
You want to be, you want to be drinking the water from the cup through the towel.
Through the towel,
You might have to take two or three good drinks from it, but your hiccups
Depends
will go away.
Depends on the towel.
Yeah.
Depends on the towel.
Enjoy.
Uh-huh.
What do you
two
think of that?
Drinks.
It's hard for me to picture water going through a thick towel. It's got to be thin, like a washcloth maybe.
You know what? By the time I get the towel and do that, I think
They're
I'd
gone.
Probably be, I'm out of that. But you know what? There are a lot of hiccup cures, and we will add that to our list of hiccup cures. You know, I think one day we should do a hiccup cure song. Put them all together.
How
That's
would that
it.
Go?
That's
Off the
it.
Top of your head, how does that go?
You know,
go?
I'm not a songwriter, but you are. You can do this.
Okay. Do you have a healthy living tip for the show? Maybe a way we can improve the show? Just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Should we do this again next week, Zorba?
We should.
Okay, let's do it. With hiccup cures, maybe.
Yes.
Hiccup tips. If you missed anything during the show or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web.
At ZorbaPastor.org.
Or where else?
Facebook.
That's right. And don't forget, you can call us
anytime.
To leave us your question at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next
Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.